The Detroit famous rap group Cheddar Boys took over the streets in the early to mid 2000s. Quende Reed is a former member of the group and now CEO and executive producer of Cheddar Boy Films. Reed's latest film release is entitled Outside, and it takes a look at grief and pain and what is it like to live on the streets of Detroit. Culture Shifts, Tia Graham is here to tell us more.
Yes, indeed. We're also joined by Ronnie Kirk, the director of the film Outside, and both are no stranger to the life portrayed in the film. They have a certain way of telling the story because they have personal experiences telling this story. So we're going to hear a little bit more about the film coming out, Outside, and I want to say thank you both to Quende as well as Ronnie for joining the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So for those who may not know, who are or who were Cheddar Boy, who were they?
It was a group of me and my friends, cousins, and my cousins. We were a rap group. We were the Street Lord Cheddar Boys, where we made great music throughout the city of Detroit that's still emulated today by some of today's most popular artists, from Babyface Ray to Big Shine to Sada Baby, 42 Doug. There's a lot of Detroit artists that emulate what we did when we were having our time.
Which is so true. And, you know, you just talked a little bit about how that music has transcended to this new generation of Detroit rappers. Why do you think it stuck and you know, held on for so long and still holding on?
It was authentic. Like, it was real. We were just young men trying to survive and create great music at the time. We didn't know that it would transcend and go on to develop a life of its own and create a style or a culture for Detroit and carry on across the world, where you see celebrities doing dances in remembrance of my friend Blade Icewood and TV shows and football games. And so it's definitely grown, you know. It's a blessing to be a part of something like that.
And, you know, you talk a little bit about, you know, being a young man, you're all just trying to find yourselves, just, you know, out there hustling. Detroit hustles harder. So what were some of the experiences that at that time that you would say helped informed you to become a filmmaker, or at least an executive producer and an owner of a production company?
Well, being in the streets, you kind of learn business when you're a hustler. You kind of learn accounting and other things that you don't traditionally know what it's called. But you just learn it as you're trying to grow in the streets. But you use a lot of professional terms that you later on to come to find out they are professional terms, but you just naturally have them growing up in the streets and hustling and things like that. So wanting to be a filmmaker, it was like I saw that an opportunity to paint a picture of what I saw going on in my community and tell stories that I wanted to tell to try to change the youth or change people to make better decisions.
And I think about that, I think about how it just was a natural progression from writing music, being a rapper, kind of going to tell stories in this new way, in a new form. How did you see that creativity kind of shifting its way to film?
Honestly, I was at the studio with Too Short, and it was a guy trying to pitch him on getting him to do a film. And he told him the price, and I was just there thinking, like, oh, I got that kind of money. So I just got the film bug right then and there because I thought of it as an opportunity to make money at the time. And so that's how I just dove in head first. No knowledge, no film background, just an entrepreneur thinking that I can make something creative that could work. So that's how I got involved.
And Ronnie, bringing you into the conversation, you're a filmmaker. How long have you been a director?
Since 2017.
Wow. So you just kind of started too. This is still kind of relatively new for you.
Yeah. I was managing artists. I was managing artists like rappers like Sada, and, you know, helping out my friends with their music and things like that. And then I just decided to do my own thing with the film.
Was it easy for you to transition behind the camera?
Yeah, because I was behind the scenes already.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, didn't want to be in the forefront of anything. So writing and directing fit me perfectly.
And do you think it's been easy for you to direct because you've already had the behind-the-scenes type of feel, or do you think it's been a little bit more challenging than you expected it to be?
For the most part, the directing part is easy. Mm-hmm. It's independent filmmaking. You know, you have challenges of doing a multitude of jobs, so that's where the difficulty comes into place.
You're just playing all the fields. Your hands are
everywhere.
Yeah,
your hands and everything, and you're doing six different things, then, you know, then it's a little bit more difficult to direct. But for the most part, director comes, you know, pretty natural for me.
Awesome. So since 2017, you've been, you know, dipping your feet, not even just dipping, but you've been producing films, directing films. What have been some of your biggest, I guess you can say, learning moments when you've been, since you've been working since 2017?
It's been several. Let me think about that. So, I kind of started the film by going to film school. So, the first year of film school was pretty much a bunch of learning experience, because before I didn't want to be a director. I wanted to be a camera operator.
Okay.
So that was my goal. Like, all right, I'm just going to run a study cam and learn how to operate a camera. And that's what I want to do. My professor actually switched me over to, you know, to directing. So the first day on the set of my first short film, it was called Not Easily Broken. And the nerves of having everybody listen to you, and you like, man, it's my first time ever directing anything. Like, so now it was kind of like you get to start thinking like, man, am I a fraud? Do I know what I'm doing? People that's more experienced looking to you for these answers and questions and things like that. So that probably was the most challenging thing, directing my first project.
Yeah, I often think about like that, having that pressure, that accountability. If something goes bad or if it goes good, it's on you, yeah. You know? So as we continue to go forward talking about the film Outside, which is going to be released June 10th at Imagine Theater, correctly? Royal Oak.
Yes, that's correct.
And so, you know, just run us through a little bit of the filmmaking process in terms of Outside, both of you, if you can, Quinda, as well as our, excuse me, I almost forgot your name, Ronnie's. Oh, my God. Just if you can go into it a little bit about the beginning processes of setting up a film like this, an independent film.
Well, you know, it all starts with the page, cliche. So I got the idea for the movie, just basically watching different films from different generations and like Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood, and also listening to our era of music. And I realized one thing, like I don't see a representation of my youth on screen, and I haven't seen that in a long time, or the youth of today. We haven't seen that, you know, the things we go through. Like they had Menace, like everybody can still feel it. And even today's generation, it still translates today. And, you know, people today still feel it. So I wanted to make a movie like that, that show the challenges of today's youth.
Which we often don't get to see. Like you said, I haven't seen many things other than what I've been seeing on Tubi, and finally seeing some of those things resonate. Yeah. And coming from the voices of the city of Detroit and the residents here, you know, same thing with you. When you're talking about producing these type of films and getting these films out here, how are you approaching the storytelling?
I just want to make it authentic, because I don't want to water something down when it's real life. Like, some of these things that we see are super tragedies, and it's really sad that the inner city and some of our community grow up where we kill one another over simple, basic misunderstandings or miscommunications that lead to drastic consequences and changes in families' lives, where people die, people go to prison. So I want to address that through filmmaking, to show people like, sometimes it may not be that big. Maybe you should just put your pride to the side and walk away, because we'll make an instant decision that could harm us and change our lives forever. And we have to be more conscious and mindful of that. Sometimes we can't let our ego just get in our way where we like make a bad decision just on our ego, because we don't want to feel like a punk, or we want to feel cool. Like, sometimes those decisions put us in terrible circumstances.
So as we were talking about the film Outside once again, you know, why is it so important for you all to give this to the young people? Right now we're seeing a lot of things happening and a lot of conversations in the city of Detroit about lockdowns and curfews, because we want to try to curb some of the young people out there. What are some of the things that you're trying to show for the younger generations of people who aren't seeing themselves?
Well, one of the things I wanted to show was communication. So that's more so what the film's about on a heavier scale. It's about communication with the older generation, communication with each other, and things like that. So I really wanted to show, like, through communication, we can really resolve a lot of these issues and things that we got going on today. So Rick plays a character named Mr. Hendrix, which is actually named after my middle school my middle school principal. And in middle school, I was a bad kid. So I stayed in Mr. Hendrix's office all the time. So Mr. Hendrix and me, we had these conversations, and he would be telling me, like, you ain't did nothing, I ain't did, and I did this and I did that. And I'm like, if you did X, Y, Z, why are you trying to make it seem like we so much worse than y'all? Like, instead of pointing your finger and saying what we're doing wrong, tell me what I can do right. So that's what I wanted to use Rick's character, Mr. Hendrix, to do, which Rick did a good job at, you know, being that guy, because there was moments I was like, man, that's literally what Mr. Hendrix told me.
That's what's so. So, Ronnie, I'm thinking about something you said earlier and connecting it to this. You talked a little bit about how your film teacher, when you were in film school, how they directed you from being behind, you know, a camera operator to being an actual filmmaker and having control over the whole set. And then I hear about this story with your middle school teacher. So you've had a trend of having people in your life who's helped kind of steer you to maybe things that you didn't even think you could do. Can you talk about having those mentors and role models?
Yeah, I didn't. That's pretty much been my entire life. From playing basketball to boxing to filmmaking to writing to even now, like Rick pushes me to the forefront of some of these projects that I don't really be keen on directing. He's like, man, you got to do it. I need you to do it. Blah, blah, you good at it. Do it. So I got to get it done. But, you know, having mentors, you know, like Rook, like my stepdad, like my boxing coach, Jimmy Paul, my high school basketball coach, Coach Will. Yeah, I've always been that person because I'm more so of an introverted. But, you know, people can see when you got that shine. So they're going to push you to that forefront and make it come out.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It just feels like they saw it in you and they said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and just keep pushing this guy forward. And hopefully we know that he's going to make it. And you're making it right now with the film that you're all directing. We're going to get to a quick clip of the film that we have pulled up about 30 seconds.
No, it's good. It's Felicia. And yeah, I have a problem. First off, this boy ain't hardly no misunderstood. I watched a whole video of him laughing at somebody getting shot. It's a whole page of him arguing back and forth with some gang members and they talking about killing each other. The only misunderstanding we have in here is that you don't realize that he's in a gang. How you even graduating in the first place? My son told me how he goes around here bullying all the teachers and you just allow it.
Look, we don't deny anyone education here.
Yeah, at the expense of everybody else.
So this particular clip, I was listening to it and I thought, you know, I know a lot of parents who, you know, work maybe or, you know, constantly working or maybe a single parent. And there are things that are just in the purview that they just cannot reach, cannot see. And this is something that was happening that the parent, you know, hey, you don't see what's going on with my kid. So I think about the deep, nuanced conversations and things that are happening in the city of Detroit and how you all are using film to tell stories just like the one, just a clip of what we just heard. Quinde, if you can. Once again, over the last few years, how has it been pushing, like, perseverance, determination of getting these stories out here?
It's been tough, you know. Like, independent filmmaking is tough. Like, you have to have some grit and grind to push forward to do something understaffed, undermanned, undercapitalized, within the hope that you figure it out where you make enough money or someone comes and believes in you to get you to the next level. So it's definitely been tough, but, you know, I feel up for the challenge. I feel like we make great stories that can inspire people and change people's lives and give people different perspectives. So I just feel like we're doing a good job. If we just change one person to make a better decision, we've come a long way.
And that is exactly what I'm seeing from the outside film so far. So talk about when it's going to be premiering. You know, I have a Royal Oak Imagine Theater premiere, so that's pretty big.
Yeah, we had Royal Oak Imagine on June 10th, 7 p.m. We got a great cast. Samaj Leslie, Easy to Block Captain, Jug Harden, Skilla Baby, guest appearance, Sada Baby. It's a host of other talent that everybody names won't come to mind right now because I'm on Johnny on the spot, but it's a great movie. I think people will really like it. And we're putting on for the city and we're trying to let people get their shine and pursue their dreams while we're doing it.
And, you know, to both of you, the same thing. Ronnie, as well as Quinde, talk about Tubi and how it's helped or if it's helped at all to get these films out here.
I think Tubi doing a great job at giving independent filmmakers a platform to display their films and their work of art. I think Tubi's done a great job for Black culture because it's such an underserved network of places where you can show Black content. So for Tubi to be at the forefront where people can see Black content, it has driven Tubi in a great direction. So hopefully other networks and TV pioneers start supporting more Black content because Tubi has grown to be a billion-dollar company and it's predominantly Black content.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie?
Tubi definitely has given us a platform to showcase our ability to create films as independent Black filmmakers, but I also believe Tubi needs to do a way better job at reaching back to us and providing us with bigger and better opportunities because they do have Tubi originals that they fund, which none of our projects so far have been funded by Tubi itself. We was having this good discussion the other day with Rook. I feel like a lot of these platforms use Black folks to build their platforms and then kick us off. So hopefully Tubi don't do something like that. Hopefully they continue to work with us and they get better at working with us.
I think about that often when we talk about the CW and we talk about some of the channels and shows that we had growing up and how they kind of disappeared and they haven't come back in an authentic way. So this is the perfect way to kind of segue in more authentic stories being told by people who are living them. So the last thing I have is just give us a takeaway, biggest takeaway from the film and give us that shout out for going to see the film.
The film is giving youth culture the voice it needs. You know, you got Skilla Baby in there, Samaj Les, and you got people that represents today's youth culture. So that's more than enough reason to come out and see it. Every character has a different relationship with each other, and it showcases and it's all different stories being told throughout that whole collective film. So it's going to give everybody a message to walk away with.
Nice.
You can get the tickets for Outside at CheddarBoyFilms.com. Or you could DM me at Street Lord Rook on Instagram, and I'll definitely make sure you get your tickets. The tickets are $40, and the show is 7 p.m., June 10th, Saturday, outside. We're going to have a great event, a great time. Come out, hang out, meet the stars, and enjoy a great film.
All righty then. Quende Reed is the founder, CEO, and executive producer of Cheddar Boy Films. And Ronnie Kirk is the director of the film Outside. You just heard it's premiering this Saturday, June 10th at the Royal Oak Imagine Theater. That's at 7 p.m. Tickets are $40. You can definitely hit Quende up on Instagram to get those tickets. Or you can head to, one more time, website?
CheddarBoyFilms.com.
Boom. Go there to get those tickets, $40. I want to say thank you both for being here and chatting us up.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.